Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour, and you're listening to KCAW in Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. Representative Peggy Wilson's plan to create an Alaska Transportation Infrastructure Fund is getting some traction in the legislature, but it's unclear whether it has enough time and support to make it all the way through. Wilson, a Wrangell Republican, authored a resolution that would put the fund on the ballot later this year. It needs voter approval because it is a constitutional amendment.
We need to plan for the future, and no matter whether the times are good or times are bad, we still have to take care of our transportation needs. We still have to fix our roads, and if there's any way that we can have roads to resources, the more the better, because that's where our money comes from.
Roads to Resources is a Parnell administration effort to connect isolated mines and other development projects with state highways. Wilson's resolution passed out of the House Finance Committee earlier this month. It's sitting in the Chamber's Rules Committee, waiting to be scheduled for the House floor. Wilson, the House Majority Whip, says she expects the Transportation Fund resolution to move within a week. A separate measure defining how it will be funding and where money can be spent is still in the Finance Committee. It's been there since last year. The Alaska Redistricting Board last year approved an election boundary plan that shrunk Southeast's power in the legislature. The Supreme Court last week rejected that plan, sending it back to the board for more work. But those watching the process say the region is less likely to see changes than some other parts of the state. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The redistricting plan drawn up last year took away most of Albert Kukesh's widespread Senate district. If it stands, the Angoon Democrat will face off against another powerful incumbent. So, of course, he'd like to see new, more favorable boundaries.
I wish that would happen, but I just don't think that it will because of the numbers in Southeast Alaska are just too low. The population numbers are just too low, and I don't think there's any hope out there for redistricting plan would include my old district.
Southeast lost two of its eight legislative seats under that plan. It left four of the region's incumbents fighting for two legislative seats. The Alaska Supreme Court last week ordered the redistricting board to take another look at boundaries it set for the state's 40 House and 20 Senate seats. The court concluded parts of the plan conflict with the state constitution. It ruled Federal Voting Rights Act requirements protecting Native influence districts carried too much weight in deliberations. Redistricting Board Executive Director Taylor Bickford says it's unclear what will happen to the current plan, but he says the panhandle has not been a flashpoint for debate.
I can tell you that there weren't any districts in the Southeast that we were saying we had to draw it this way because of the Voting Rights Act. And so I think it would probably be less likely that Southeast would be significantly changed.
The board will begin meeting March 26th to reconsider its redistricting plan. That document put Kukesh in the same Senate district as Sitka Republican Bert Stedman. The boundaries include about three-quarters of Stedman's current constituents and only a quarter of Kukesh's. The plan also created an incumbent matchup in the House. Republicans Peggy Wilson of Wrangell and Kyle Johansson of Ketchikan face off in a district that is mostly Johansson's. Wilson says that's a difficult situation.
Well, it's just easier if you're going to be campaigning in an area where everybody knows you. That's definitely a much easier situation to deal with, but I'll just continue doing what I always do. You know, knock on doors and talk to people and let the chips fall where they may.
Southeast's incumbents have worked together in the past to support projects and programs of shared interest. Johansson says that will continue with or without redistricting changes.
I think no matter where you draw the lines, we're always going to work towards the common good for the region. We've done that in the past, and I think that's going to continue. We have to, even more so, with losing one seat.
The redistricting board is working on a deadline. June 1st is the last day lawmakers and their challengers can put their names on the ballot. Board Executive Director Bickford says everyone understands the need to complete the job.
It's possible that the board would go through this drill and would end up at something very similar to the plan we've already drawn, and it's possible that it could be something completely different.
The plan being reconsidered adds Sitka to Haines Republican Representative Bill Thomas's largely rural district, and it moves Skagway and Petersburg into one of Juneau's two House districts and one Senate district. Time will tell whether any of that changes. Angoon Senator Kukesh says any updated plan may still not be final.
we could have another appeal. I don't think anybody should be guaranteed or think that it's going to be guaranteed that whatever they come out with on a new plan is going to be hunky-dory with everybody.
Petersburg, for example, will ask the redistricting board to reconsider its legislative boundaries. Officials want to remain partnered with Sitka and Wrangell instead of the capital city. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
You can read more about the Supreme Court's recent decision and visit the redistricting plan's impacts on Southeast Alaska through links posted on our website at kcaw.org. ConocoPhillips Alaska executives say it will take billions of dollars in additional investment just to stem the decline of oil production in the state. Bob Heinrich and Scott Jepson testified before the Senate Finance Committee, which is working on an oil tax plan. BP and ExxonMobil Corp. are also expected to testify. Heinrich said a provision to reward new production in the current Senate plan would not incentivize the investments needed to offset the first decline, or rather offset the decline. Jepson said a way to encourage that level of new investment is to change progressivity. Alaska's tax structure features a base tax rate and progressive surcharge triggered when a company's production tax value hits $30 a barrel. Industry says the surcharge eats too deeply into profits when oil prices are high and discourages new investments. A proposal that would change the way schools administer a federal survey cleared the House Education Committee yesterday. Schools are required to get written parental approval before a student can take the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. The anonymous survey by the Centers for Disease Control measures the prevalence of health and social problems among students. Senate Bill 8 would require parents send written objections to their children's participation to opt out. Proponents like Anchorage Democratic Senator Betty Davis says the measure decreases the burden placed on schools. Critics, though, worry about exposure to topics like sexual behavior and drug use. House Education Chair Alan Dick says he shares that concern, but supported the bill because data from the survey helps combat community problems. The bill faces another committee before a floor vote. It's March Madness Week, Alaska style, this week as teams from around Southeast gather in Juneau for the 66th annual Gold Medal Basketball Tournament. The event, organized by the Juneau Lions Club, has achieved legendary status in many of the small village communities that dot the panhandle. KTOO's Casey Kelly caught up with players and fans from Angoon as they made their way to the tournament on Saturday.
For many teams, a trip to Gold Medal starts here, aboard the state ferry Leconte, or one of the other boats that make up the Alaska Marine Highway's Southeast Fleet.
The Blue Canoe? It is very important we have the Blue Canoe.
36-year-old William J. Booth III plays on Angoon's C team for players between the ages of 32 and 42. He grew up in Metlakatla in what he calls a ball family.
My whole family, all my brothers, are all ball players, high school ball. A couple of them went to college for a little while, but eventually they moved home and did some fishing. They do still participate in a lot of tournaments, and the biggest one for them is Gold Medal.
Booth says Angoon's C team has been practicing since last year's tournament, putting in extra work since January. The team is extra motivated this year after playing just three games before getting knocked out of the 2011 Gold Medal. In a tournament where positions aren't exactly defined for most players, Booth is looking to contribute with defense and hustle.
I like the defense, I like the rebound, I like to get inside and bump elbows. That's where I like to be at.
Angoon's B squad, for players under age 32, is coming off two consecutive gold medal championships in their bracket. 21-year-old John Crossman says the B team just hopes to avoid a letdown.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to lose. I want to win.
Crossman says the gold medal tournament is all about bragging rights in Southeast Alaska.
Growing up in Angoon, we played against Hoonah, Cake, Yakutat, and all those villages, you know, they all come together. And I know a lot of the guys, And I'm pretty cool with most of them, and you just get to see them again, say hi, and play against them. It's like reliving high school.
For Booth, it goes beyond bragging rights when he plays against his brothers on Metla Katla's team. He says they always try to recruit him to play for their squad, but he switched allegiances when he moved to Angoon 6 years ago.
I got to represent my community that I live in, and I want my kids to see me running around with the Angoon jersey, you know. But they know Metla Katla's right there.
Booth's wife, Rihanna Kukesh Booth, is the daughter of State Senator Albert Kukesh, a gold medal Hall of Famer. She says the annual pilgrimage to the tournament sparks a lot of memories.
It's been a big part of my family's life for as long as I can remember. My dad played for many, many years, and as a child, and growing up all through high school, every year we always went to gold medal.
Kukesh Booth says the atmosphere is the same no matter which teams are playing.
There's a lot of village chanting, you hear a lot of Hoona and a lot of Angoon and Haines, and, they're just pretty much rooting for their village.
The tournament lasts through Saturday at the Juno Douglas High School gym. Besides the B and C brackets, there's also a master's bracket for older players. This year's gold medal is dedicated to the Reverend Dr. Walter Soboloff, who never missed a tournament before passing away last year at the age of 102. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
For updated scores and schedules from this year's tournament, you can get that information on the web at goldmedalbasketball.org. And that's it for Raven News for this hour. It's just about 1 minute after the hour of 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. Temperature outside right now is 33 degrees, winds are calm, and the sky is overcast.